Today we have the account of Matthew chapter 25, which is called the general judgment, called the final judgment. And the Lord describes what will happen. He says, when the Son of Man comes in His glory, the Son of Man was a title that the Lord always used to describe Himself. When the Son of Man comes in His glory, He'll have a different appearance than He had during His earthly life. He'll be radiant, He'll be a king, sitting on a glorious throne. He'll be filled with light and power. And He'll be sitting upon this throne. He'll come with all the holy angels to judge the living and the dead. And it says He will sit upon His throne and all the nations will be assembled before Him. Not just the Jewish nation, but all the nations will be assembled before Him. Then the Lord will separate the nations individually. People will come before the Lord and He'll separate them as the sheep from the goats. And He refers to those on His right as His sheep, His flock, those on the left as the goats that will be cast out. So the Lord will give a judgment upon each person, either sheep or the goats to sit on His right, which is the place of honor, or the left. And He'll say to those on His right, come. Come inherit kingdom, the kingdom of heaven. Whereas to those on His left, He'll say, depart. As Bishop Sheen says, you're going to hear something from Jesus. Either come or go. Either come into heaven or depart into hell. So the Lord says, again, this is the final judgment, the general judgment. The purgatory is no longer there. Purgatory ends at the second coming of Christ. Purgatory ends at the second coming of the Lord, at the general judgment. At that time, purgatory will cease to exist. Any souls that are still there will enter heaven at that time. So this is the final judgment when there is heaven or hell. And He says, come, you who are blessed. See, we're either blessed or we're cursed. We either come or we depart. And He says, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Then the Lord describes that when I was hungry, you gave me food. Thirsty, you gave me drink. Stranger, you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me. And what's interesting is that the righteous will say, Lord, when did we see you in this way? Because they did not recognize Him. He looks a lot different now. He's the Son of Man and light and glory and radiance on a gold throne. Jesus says, whenever you neglected, whenever you did it for one of these least brethren, you did it for me. And so Jesus identifies Himself with each and every person, with the least of the brethren. This would be the unborn baby, the child, the handicapped, the elderly. Every single person is Jesus. That's what He's saying. Every single person is the Lord. That unborn babe in the mother's womb that we try to save from abortion, that is Jesus. That child, that elderly person, that person in the nursing home, in the hospital, in the prison, that is Jesus. And Jesus says, whenever you visited them and cared for them and loved them, that was me, Jesus says. You did it for me. Now the righteous did not even realize they were doing it for Jesus. But Jesus says, because you did this, He says, come into eternal life, into heaven, prepared for you from all eternity. Isn't that wonderful to know? It's wonderful to think about that whatever we do for another person, we do for Christ Himself. Well then, the sobering part is the Lord turns to those on His left. And He says, depart from me, you accursed, you accursed, into eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. Eternal fire. Jesus speaks about the eternity of hell. It's not temporary. It's eternal. We're not making this up. You know, it's right there in Scripture. And what makes hell so terrible is that it was prepared for the devil and the fallen angels. So it's a place of supernatural pain and suffering. And then He tells these people, depart from me into eternal fire. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. Thirsty, you gave me no drink. A stranger gave me no welcome. Naked, you gave me no clothing. Ill and in prison, you did not care for me. In other words, these people did not do the spiritual and corporal works of mercy. The first group did the works of mercy. They lived out their faith in mercy, in love, whereas these people did not. They neglected. All these are works of omission, not commission. These are works of omission, things that they should have done, but they neglected to do. Look how important this is. The spiritual and corporal works of mercy. Our salvation depends on it. This is one of the best passages you could ever use to our Protestant brothers and sisters. Some of them say, all you need to do is accept Jesus as Lord and Savior, and that's it. Well, obviously, that does not square with the Bible. Notice these people, Jesus did not ask him, did you accept me as your personal Lord and Savior? It's not in here. It wasn't. It was, did you feed me? Did you clothe me? Did you care for me? Yes, we all need, that's the first part, to accept Jesus as personal Lord and Savior. That is the first step. That is necessary. But the Bible indicates that there's more to it. We cannot be saved by faith alone. Matthew chapter 25 proves that. We are not saved by faith alone. We are saved by how we live out our faith in love and in charity towards others. If somebody says you're saved by faith alone, does that mean that you don't have to love God to be saved? That's what they're saying if you're saved by faith alone. Does that mean you don't have to love your neighbor? That's what they're saying if you're saved by faith alone. It's ridiculous to say we're saved by faith alone. Matthew chapter 25 today tells us that we're not saved by faith alone. We're saved by living out our faith in love. Love of God and love of neighbor. So the Lord concludes by saying, you know, depart from me into eternal fire. And these people say, Lord, when did we see you hungry and naked and thirsty and in prison? Jesus says, I assure you, amen, amen, verily, verily, truly, truly, I say to you, what you did not do for one of these least ones, Jesus says, you did not do for me. Again, Jesus identifies himself with every person, the poorest of the poor, says these will go off to eternal punishment and the righteous to eternal life. So what I would recommend whenever you're discussing this issue of salvation, what our salvation depends on, if somebody says to you, say by faith alone, say, well, okay, let's see what the Bible says. Let's go and look at Matthew chapter 25 and show them how clear it is here that our life depends, yes, on faith. We are saved by faith, but we're saved not by faith alone. The best Catholic answer is that we are saved by God's grace. We are saved by God's grace that operates in our life through faith, hope, and love. That is how we're saved. Yes, we're saved by the grace of God. We cannot earn heaven ourselves. It is the free gift of God, but it's a gift of God that is given to us freely. But we have to accept that grace by responding with faith, hope, and love.